Welcome to the October 13th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and the sermon is entitled Thought Before Action, delivered today by Pastor Michael Fitzgerald.
Take your Bible, open it with me to the book of Philippians in your New Testament. We're quickly drawing to a close in a sermon series through this great book of Philippians written by St. Paul when he was in prison in Rome. About 60-62 A.D., he wrote it to a church he loved, actually a church he founded as a missionary. He and his mission team coming to the continent of Europe, stepping off the boat in the city of Philippi on the coast, establishing a church there that came from the prayer meeting of a group of women who were asking for God's will, God's blessing, God's guidance. And the church of Philippi was established there through the mission efforts of Paul and his team. He loves this church. He describes this church as his joy and his crown. He thinks so much of this ministry, and he loves these Christians and brothers and sisters, and it was a solid, ministering, progressive church, and Paul was writing to them from his prison cell 600 miles away simply to encourage them and to share love with them and guidance with them that comes through the Lord. Now today, we're going to study one verse of Scripture. This is one of those underlined, star it verses of Scriptures. You cannot lose it. This deals with the state of the Christian's mind and heart as we give our life in service to the King. Now, before we break this verse down, I want us to read it, and then we're going to look at what the meaning is. So look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Hear these words as Paul writes them initially to the church at Philippi, but they flow to us now 2,000 years later. Paul says this, 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." That one verse of Scripture is more than sufficient for an entire sermon today. As we think about that verse, I want to bring you to an understanding of the most important point that I can say to you today as we open this verse of Scripture. This is elementary and it's elemental to our faith. Being a Christian, being a child of God, being a believer in Christ does not begin with what you do. Being a believer in Jesus Christ founds its foundation on your faith placed in Him first. So it's not what we do, it's who we have faith in that is at the base level of our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and our coming to serve Him. It begins by what we believe rather than what we do. A few years ago, a local funeral home director called me. And he said, a man who lived in Amherst County many, many years ago passed away in another state, the state in which he lived for many years. And nobody around here really knows him anymore, doesn't know the family anymore. They've been gone for so long. However, his burial place is here in Amherst County. And I would like for you, if you would, to come and conduct a graveside service for this man. And I told him I would certainly do so. He said, well, because you will do that, I'll have a family member to call you to make out all the details about the service and what they would like. So the day before the funeral, a relative of this man called me. And she simply said, we want a service of comfort and assurance at the graveside. And I said, I understand that. I'm happy that I can be there with your family. But I'd like to know a little something more about him that I can make the service personal. Can you tell me something about him? And she said, well, he was a good father, good husband, good man. Helped his neighbor, did good things through his life. And I said, I'm so glad to hear that, but let me ask you this. Was he a believer? Was he a Christian? Did he have a connection with a church home? And she said, to my knowledge, he never made any decision for Christ. He was never connected with the church. As far as I know, he never darkened the door of a church. So as our phone conversation came to a close, she said this before she said goodbye. Thank you for bringing us a service of assurance. And I hung up the phone and thought, oh, Lord, what am I going to assure them of? I had no basis to assume he was in heaven with Jesus. From all that this person who was very close to him knew, he made no commitment to Christ, had no connection with the church. But he did good things. Well, here's her logic, and I want you to hear this because many people in our lives live by this logic. It is an assumption that many people live by. It's the assumption of this lady to whom I talked on the phone. This man lived a good life. Because he lived a good life, God saw him as good. And because God saw him as good, God then gave him a home in heaven. He lived a good life. God saw him as good. Therefore, God gave him a home in heaven, gave him forgiveness and salvation and grace. Now, while that is what many people want to believe, especially at the moment of the death of a loved one, it is not what the Bible says. Rather, Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none of us good enough who can work hard enough and be perfect enough that we can work our way to glory, that we can work our way into forgiveness and into a home of heaven. That's what the Bible says. There's no basis in the Bible for personal goodness bringing us before God Almighty in forgiveness. The entire message of the Bible is summed up in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, not because of personal goodness or the good things we do, lest any man should boast." We have nothing to boast about or brag about on our life. We are simply coming to the cross of Jesus Christ saying, "Lord God, I am a sinner. I am far from you. I need forgiveness. And my forgiveness can only come by the way and the truth and the life of your Son Jesus, who went to the cross and rose from the grave that I might have life." That's the basis of all we believe. That's the basis of eternal life and forgiveness, that we come through Christ alone, not by personal goodness, but by Him. We must accept Jesus as Lord and Savior in order to begin living a life that is pleasing to God. A life of goodness and good things and good neighbor and morality is still not completely pleasing to God because we must come through Jesus, His Son. That's the beginning, that's the primary, that's the necessary step of faith, a relationship with Jesus as Lord, a forgiving relationship with Him that promises us an eternal home. Believing on the name of Jesus is the beginning. Okay, then after that first step, when you do receive Jesus, when you are saved, when you are promised heaven, when you're living by faith and trust, then what? What do you do after you're saved? Well, that's where this passage of Scripture picks up today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. In one verse, Paul lists 8 things that should fill the mind of the child of God. If Jesus lives inside us, then that means our thoughts on the inside must honor Him. If He has cleansed your and my heart of the filth of sin, and He has come to live in us, then we need to provide Him a continuous, clean living space in our heart. You can't drag filth into your life and offer a clean space to Jesus. You and I don't want to live in a pigsty, and Jesus doesn't want to live in a heart of filth. Rather, we are to constantly ask for cleansing and for blessing and for renewal in what it means to be a son or a daughter of God, to provide Him the heart and the life in which He is going to live, so that we honor Him with our lives. So we need to center our minds on godly things, so that we can keep Jesus' living area in us clean. Paul lists 8 things here in one verse. Let's listen to it one more time. "Finally, brethren," Philippians 4, 8, "whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Let's look at those mind and heart fillers one by one and how we are to maintain that cleanliness of life and heart that Jesus might live in us. First of all, Paul says, fill your mind with whatever is true. The Greek word there is alathes. It means you do not conceal or you hide anything from Him. You're completely truthful with the Lord God. If there's anything God hates, it's lying and untruthfulness with Him or with our neighbor or with a family member. In fact, untruthfulness, lying, is one of the abominations before God. God lists seven of them in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17. He said, this is one of the things out of seven that I hate the most is untruthfulness. It's an abomination to me. Center your minds on things that are true. Be truthful with God, with neighbor. Think in truth always. Live in truth always. The second thing Paul lists to cleanse our heart and our mind for Jesus to live in us. Christians are to fill their minds with honorable, noble, honest things. The Greek word here is semnos. And I believe foremost that means total honesty with God. Let God know where you need help. Let God know where you need forgiveness. Let God know where you need strength. Let God know that you praise Him in your joys. Live a transparent life before God Almighty, an honest, honorable life before God. Be honest in your relationship with people around you. Not only is an honesty with God, it's an honesty with one another. We live in honesty with our spouse. We live in honesty with our children and our grandchildren. We live in honesty with our families and with the workplace and in the church home. We are going to be honest and transparent in all things. In everything we do, complete honesty is a requirement of God. Complete honesty might not always be painless, but it is always right. Always live in honesty. The third mind filler, heart filler, Paul says Christians are to think about being just. The Greek word is dikaios, and it means to be innocent. To be just, then, means to be innocent of wrongdoing. In every action, we ask God, do you approve of this which I'm going to do? You know, back in the 80s, there was this little thing. You could have some tags on your wrists, wristbands, WWJD. In everything we do, what would Jesus do? And that kind of became a motto for so many people, especially in the youth of those years. But certainly it applies to us today. In every action, we ask God, do you approve, Lord, of what I'm going to do? Do you approve of this step that I'm going to take, that it be honoring to you? Godly living is seeking to be innocent of wrongdoing in everything that we do. Do what is right. That's simple, but it's so true. The fourth mind filler Paul gives us is that we're to think about pure things. The Greek here is hagnos. Now, this area deals very specifically with our sexuality, that we are to have pure thoughts, to think about pure things. Our thoughts toward others, especially in the realm of the opposite sex, are to be always pure, to remain pure. For those of us who are married in this room, I remind you of those words from Proverbs 5:15 that says, drink water from your own cistern. Don't go looking for a cistern on somebody else's property. Drink water from your own cistern. Our thoughts toward others are always to remain pure. Remember the 10th commandment. God says this, you shall not covet your neighbor's house or wife or servant or livestock or whatever. In other words, do not let your mind become greedy and desirous of that which belongs to someone else. Keep your thoughts pure in that realm so that Jesus has a clean living space in your heart. Fifthly, Paul says to the church at Philippi, and now to us, we are to fill our minds with lovely things. The Greek word is prosphiles. I think a key verse of understanding what Paul is conveying here about think about lovely things, perhaps one of the key verses for me is in Psalms 84:1 that says, how lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Fill your mind with the things where God is. Fill your mind with the things where you're going to find God there. I believe that we fill our minds with the way we serve Him in ministry within the church fellowship. We find God here, amen? We fill our minds with how we serve Him as brothers and sisters. It's a lovely place where we find God leading us day by day in ministry and outreach with the name of Christ. We find a lovely place with a friendship of a fellow believer, a brother or a sister, on whom we can depend. They pray for us. They walk with us. That's a lovely place, a place where you're going to find God in the middle of that. In a godly relationship of husband and wife, you're going to find God in the middle of that. Find lovely things in those relationships. And you know, one place that I believe that you really find a lovely relationship is a relationship with children. Let me remind you, you might want to write this down, Luke 18:16-17, it says this, Jesus called them unto Him, meaning the children, and said, Suffer little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Where are you and I closest to the kingdom of God? When you're with a child. When you're with a child who understands what true faithfulness is. Seek relationships with those children in your lives. I've got two grandsons here today. I'm going to seek a relationship with them today. I'm so grateful for those relationships where we find lovely things, things where God will be found. When you picture in your mind places where God dwells, those are lovely places according to the Word of God. Now, I also realize this. You can't float through life thinking only about lovely things. I realize that we have to consider in life taking out the trash and tragedy and violence and all of those things. We have to think about the daily grind, but don't forget to bring your mind back to the places where God blesses you. We have to consider all the nuts and bolts and the goods and bads of life. That's just part of human life. But never fail to come back to where your places of blessing are. The lovely places where God is found. That's the lubrication that makes life joyful. Even in the midst of hard things, He makes life joyful when we continuously come back to Him for blessing and grace. We remember the lovely things of God. That's what Paul says here. Paul then says, number six, that we fill our minds with whatever is gracious or of good report. The Greek word is euphemos. Think about the good things that happen around you. Think about the good things that happen within the church family. You know, I want you to commit with me, as Paul says, to make a life of good report. To make a life that is upstanding before God Almighty. To make a life of good report where Jesus is comfortable living in our heart. But as we bind together as the family of God and the children of God, my prayer is that in an earthly sense, we will make this church a church of good report in the world. Now, as I said to you last week, as we talked about Euodias and Syntyche, the two women who weren't getting along in Philippi, every church has its problems. The best of churches have their little ups and downs. That is absolutely the truth. It was true in Philippi. It's true here. We have our ups and downs. But when we go out into this community, make your church a church of good report. Make it a place where people want to come. Because indeed, we find the love of Jesus Christ in this place. A place of joy, a place of worship, a place of praise, a place of brothers and sisters, a place of connection. Friend, if you're here today for the first time, we don't want you to be a stranger. We want to connect with your life and welcome you, and we want you back. Because truly, at the root of who we are, we're family in the Lord Jesus Christ. And every person is of absolute worth to the congregation of God in this place today. As we leave this place today and we go out into the world this week, my prayer is that we will make Clifford Baptist Church a church of good report in the world. That you and I will live to uplift Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And when somebody asks you about the church, make it a church of good report. Friends, I can do that without hesitation. Because I truly, in public, say it's the best church in the world. God has given me the opportunity and the honor of serving the best church in the world. And I believe that about you. I pray that we will always make this a place of good report, a place where people want to come. Help your church be that place in the community. Now, mind fillers 7 and 8, I want to combine these last two words. Paul says, Christians, think on things that are excellent or virtuous and things of praise. Both of those Greek words basically means we're to think about things that God would approve of. We're to fill our minds with things that commend God to the world. Fill your mind with godly thoughts. Fill your mind with godly words. What's one of the best ways to do that? Memorize this. Fill your minds, fill your hearts, fill your lives with the words of God. Right here they are. Memorize a verse a day. Do something to fill your heart and mind with the very word of God. So we've gone through the good things to think about. Here's Paul's point in all of this as he brings it up. He says, you and I, believers, will live and do what we think about. You and I, this week to come, will live and do what occupies our mind. Ministry begins with what's in our mind and in our heart. So we're to allow the Lord to speak good things into us and to think good things about Him and to seek out those things that belong to Him so we can carry His name into this world this week. It's very simple. But your outward actions reflect what's on the inside. That's what Paul is saying here. Your outward actions reflect what's on the inside. Jesus said it the best. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says this, for out of the abundance of the heart, the good man out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. You will bring forth what's on the inside. You will bring forth in your life what takes place in your heart and in your mind. Now, if you fill your mind and your heart with godly things, your life will display godly actions. If you choose to litter your mind, and Christians can do this, believers can do this, if we choose to litter our minds with material gain and earthly stuff and worthless trash, then your life and your actions can't lift up Jesus out there in the world as we should. And here's Paul's big point. If you don't lift up the Savior, you can't bring someone else to Him. The entire purpose of God using our life as a believer is to bring somebody else to the kingdom of God. We are ministers, we are servants, and we walk with that attitude as we go out of these doors this day. You see, your mind sets the course for your ministry. Your heart sets the course for your ministry. I guess my primary question to you is, what kind of legacy do you and I want to leave behind? The legacy that we leave behind will be directly connected with what's in our minds and our hearts right now. Let me give you an example. This example is not modern. It actually comes from the 1700s. This example has come over centuries of time. Two men lived. One man's name was Max Jukes. He lived in New York in the 1700s. He did not believe in Christ. He filled his mind with alcohol and with gambling and with immorality throughout his life. That's all he thought about. Everything that was away from God is what he thought about. Everything that was away from the Savior is what he gave his life to. Max Jukes had 1,026 descendants. 300 of them were in prison, an average of 13 years apiece. 190 of his descendants were prostitutes. 680 of his descendants were admitted alcoholics. 7 of his descendants were murderers. That's the legacy they received from the patriarch of their family. And they lived what their daddy and great-grandfather taught them. On the other hand, there was a man who was a preacher. His name was Jonathan Edwards. He also lived in New York at the time. He loved the Lord. He was a preacher of the Word. He filled his mind with the Word of God. He was a man of prayer. He prayed over his family. He prayed over his children and his grandchildren. His family went to church. His family served the Lord faithfully. Jonathan Edwards had 929 descendants. 430 of them were ministers. 86 of them became university presidents. 75 of them authored books on godly topics. One of them became Vice President of the United States, Aaron Burr, who was his grandson. And as far as the research can tell, not one of them ever went to prison for anything. Much of the difference between those two families come from two patriarchs who chose to place their mind in different places. One of them thought only about things that were away from a Savior, and one of them thought about how to serve the Savior and give his life and leave a legacy of the Savior to his family. So my question to you and to me today is, how will we fill our minds from this point forward? How will we honor the Savior that's living in us by what we take into our mind and our heart on a daily basis? And what kind of legacy do we want to leave for the family that will follow us? I want to leave the legacy of Jesus Christ in my footsteps. And I pray you do as well. Even if you're a teenager today, start that process now. Leave a legacy with Jesus Christ in your footsteps so that that family that follows you will follow those footsteps to Jesus. Christian, today, truthfully, what occupies our minds? You know, we live in a society and our living room is filled up with a TV that offers all kinds of different information. What do we fill our minds with? What do you want to pass on through your life and your journey through this world? We need to think on pure things and lovely things and godly things day by day. We need to be a people of good report. Today, believer, will you join me in just saying, Lord, help me give my mind to you. Help me give my heart to you. Help me to be sure by your grace to make a clean space for Jesus to live in me. Help my mind to be centered on the right things. I pray today we'll do that, giving our mind to the Lord Jesus, giving our heart to Him, and living in that purity of a relationship with Him. And today, if you are here and you've never come to Jesus as your Savior, listen, I want to say this first to you. You might live a good life. You might be a great person. You might be a person who is very faithful to wife or husband or family or whomever. But you'll never, never be good enough to stand before the holy, righteous God when you see Him face to face. Before you can give your life to God, before you can live in a life that honors Him, you have to first come to Him in a relationship with His Son Jesus. And you need to say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you lived that perfect life, the life that I cannot live. But you lived a perfect life and you died a perfect death on the cross and you rose a perfect Savior from the grave that I might have forgiveness and life. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I ask you to come live in me. And I will start living in such a way that I will honor you in everything I do day by day. If you need Him, today is the day for you to receive Him and accept Him as your Lord and your Savior. He will indeed receive you right now as His son or His daughter if you come to Him. Church home, whatever your need, He certainly meets us in this moment. Let's pray together. Our Father, our God, one little verse of Scripture, and I had to hurry to get through that one little verse. But I pray we'll never forget, Lord, that we're going to live what we think about. We're going to live our lives in whatever takes over our minds and our hearts. Father, for we who are believers, I pray with Jesus living in us as our Savior, that we will think about the true things and the pure things and the lovely things and the things of good report, that we might live for you and honor you, not only in how you live in us, but how we live in the world. Bless us, Lord, that we might draw others to you. Bless that one who needs you as Lord and Savior. Father, we might be good people, but we can never be perfect people. I pray, Father, for that one who needs you as Lord and Savior. Come and take that heart, forgive him or her, and adopt them as your son or daughter for all eternity. All they have to do is come and say, yes, Lord, I need you, I want you, I open my heart to you. I want a relationship with you. Bless them this moment that they might come. If someone is listening to this sermon on a radio somewhere down the road, listening by podcast, that invitation is for him or her. Bless us this moment, I pray, as we think about the lovely thing of coming before you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.